2016 results are a springboard to mass defections and the destruction of at least one of the old parties. It's time for the Republican Party to fall apart and go away, or the Democratic Party, I don't really care which.
There has arguably never been as much interest in a Libertarian National Convention as there is this year in Orlando in 2016. It's for a variety of reasons. We're going to get into them with Libertarian National Committee Chair Nicholas Sarwark. Nicholas, thank you for joining Reason TV.
Thanks for having me, Matt.
Basically, since the end of the Indiana primary, the world woke up and said, oh my God, we're going to have those two people for 6 months. We need to look for something else. Have you seen a material change in the Libertarian Party's status even in the last month?
Absolutely. Basically, for the last 3 weeks, I haven't been off the phone. Reporters from all the major outlets are covering us. And what people have realized is that the Bill Kristols of the world, the never Trump people, they were just never serious. They never had any kind of ground game. They never had an actual candidate they could pick. And so when it comes to November, there will be three parties that will have a candidate in front of all Americans, the two old ones, and then the Libertarian Party.
Talk a little bit about why that is so. I covered the Ralph Nader campaign in 2000. He got 2.7% of the vote. It was kind of significant, but the Green Party isn't on all 50 ballots. Why is that? What did you guys do that was different?
We're just better at it. Frankly, we didn't fall into the trap that the Green Party fell into, where they got wrapped up in a personality. That makes it hard to sustain. It's the same thing that happened to the Perot movement. He got 19% in the general, but that never continued beyond him. Once he was tired of politics, it all fizzled out. The Libertarian Party has taken a different approach. We've worked on building up state affiliates in all 50 states in the District of Columbia, and frankly, we're just better at this ballot access thing than all the other parties.
Talk about what it is required to get to make that happen. How much of your energy is spent just making sure that you develop this 50-state prize?
Over the last 45 years, we've put millions of dollars into breaking down ballot access barriers, into complying with the petition requirements that the two old parties put in place to try and suppress the Libertarian vote. Just this year, and we're in a great ballot access spot, we're likely to spend about $350,000 just to give Americans a choice.
Now, what have you seen in terms of numbers of people visiting or memberships or other things that would anecdotally or, you know, put numbers on the support
right.
that you've seen recently?
Memberships and revenue are both skyrocketing. We have been inundated with people joining the party. Memberships up about 12% just since the Cruz dropout. Daily memberships have doubled or tripled. Revenue, we've quadrupled what we normally bring in a month. And we're on track to continue doing that as we go into the election. And it'll just get better once Sanders gets boxed out by that corporate shill.
So one of the bigger complaints that you hear from people about the Libertarian Party is that how come there isn't a Libertarian senator? How come you don't have people in local office? What's your response to that?
The response is, this is always an argument in the party. Do we run top of the ticket? Do we run local races? The answer is we can walk and chew gum at the same time. The National Committee has a goal of having over 1,000 candidates up and down the ballot nationwide in 2016. And there's a coattail effect both directions. Presidential candidates do better when there are local candidates running, and vice versa. So our strategy is to do both.
What is the goal?
There's a lot of goals, and that's the beauty of it. The obvious goal is that I get invited to inauguration parties for the Libertarian presidential candidate when he wins, or she. But below that, there's also these goals to send a clear signal to the two old parties that we're tired of them controlling our lives. We're tired of them fighting over which one of them gets to take my taxpayer money and give it to their special interest friends. It doesn't matter which one. The answer is no. We want neither of them. So a large vote percentage where we control the balance of power actually lets us have more control over the direction this country goes, over the positions that a presidential candidate takes, than the two old parties together. If you look at how the Perot vote total affected how President Clinton governed, you can see how you can drive policy from the bottom. And if you look at positions the Libertarian Party's taken since our founding in 1971, marriage equality and cannabis legalization have been core to the party from the beginning. Marriage equality is the law of the land across the country. Cannabis legalization is having a groundswell of support, and neither of the old parties got involved in that. They didn't catch up to marriage equality until after it was already a fait accompli.
The question that I'm sure you're fending constantly, and I get as well from mainstream media, is like, okay, who are you pulling from most? these days. Is that just like an alien question to you at this point? Does it feel like that the younger generation of libertarians don't even think from the standpoint of Democrat and Republican politics?
Yeah, it's a question I get a lot. Historically, our demographics, we pull about a third from old Republicans, a third from old Democrats, and a third from people who just weren't involved or who were identified as independent. In this latest election, right now, we're getting a lot more members who are dissatisfied with the Republican nominee. But as soon as the Democratic nominee is chosen and the popular guy doesn't get it, then we're going to get a lot more members from there. So I think we'll maintain that evenness. But one of the things you point out, the largest block of voters in this country are the people who don't bother to vote. And the next largest are people who choose not to affiliate with either of the old parties. And if you look at partisan voter registration figures since 2014, the Libertarian Party is the only party that's growing in voter registrations. Democrats are declining, Republicans are declining, Constitution is declining, Greens are declining. Only the Libertarians are growing. And so we're seeing a lot more influx of people who have never had a political home before who are choosing to make the Libertarian Party their first home.
Walk us through what 5% means.
5% means ballot access retention in many states that have a vote test to see whether or not a party can continue to be on the ballot. It means eligibility for presidential matching funds, which then there would be a philosophical argument in the party about whether or not we should take federal money at all. It means legitimacy in the eyes of a lot of voters who haven't quite gotten there to be able to vote Libertarian. It says that we're for real. We're not going anywhere. You know, the fact that we're here after 45 years, we're going to be on the ballot in all 50 states, something no other political party other than two old ones is going to be able to do. We own our own national headquarters. Our vote totals and our vote floors keep rising across the country. We're in it for the long term. We're in it to win. And it may take, you know, 2 years, 4 years, 20 years, but we're not going away. And the old parties, frankly, are dying.
What, in your mind, is the failure line this time? If you don't get X, what will you consider to be a failure of this presidential race?
I think going backwards would be a failure. If we don't do better this time than we did in 2012, I would consider that to be a bad result in the presidential campaign. And if we had a bad result, we would dust ourselves off just like we did after certain campaigns in the past that people don't like to talk about.
2004, so okay.
04 or 08. We just move forward. The party is bigger than any presidential candidate. You know, I hope that we get a really good nominee. I hope we get a great vote total. But the party will continue after that 5.5 months of the presidential campaign is done. And we'll keep running those people locally. And we'll keep exciting and energizing activists who want a political party that represents them, that want a party for people who just want to live their own life, raise their own kids, run their own business, relax how they want to on the weekend, love who they want to love. There are no parties for that. There are parties for, you know, special interests and corporate cronies and just for bullying other people. There's two choices there, but there's only one choice if you want to empower individuals and let them make their own choices for their own lives.
Walk us through the ideal, if everything rolls right in 2016, what that looks like scenario. If all the ifs turn out well for the LP this time, and then we get what? What does that look like to you?
The ideal is that we use this as a springboard. The 2016 results are a springboard to mass defections and the destruction of at least one of the old parties. Basically, the ideal is to follow the line of the Whigs when they basically fell apart and turned into the Republican Party. It's time for the Republican Party to fall apart and go away, or the Democratic Party, I don't really care which. But at least we would get to a point where you'd basically have a plurality system in this country. We would break the two-party system and make it a three-party system so that there are actual political options.
Nicholas Sarek, thank you very much. For Reason TV, I'm Matt Welch.